This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, good Wednesday to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. And again, the NFL still reeling about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. What is going to be the future of this team? Is it really going to be rallying around Zach Wilson? They're going to have to make a move, right? But the question is, what kind of move are you going to make? Are you going to get a veteran to back up Zach Wilson that maybe eventually will take the job? Where do you go? And who is out there that you would want to pursue to keep this dream alive of some sort of success this season? Maybe the Super Bowl dream is over for Jets fans, but the pieces around the Jets are good enough to do something if you have a guy at quarterback that is somewhat efficient. He doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers, but he's got to be better than Zach Wilson. And that's the key to yesterday's press conference that they had with Robert Saleh. So listen, you go to press conferences all the time, or you listen to press conferences all the time. You know that there's a lot of selling that goes on. Coaches can't be honest, right? Anytime you get an honest person at the podium, it's usually more trouble for the team than it's worth. Because an honest coach who tells you honestly what's going on in the locker room and gives you an honest emotion is going to end up making more questions and more conversation that the organization doesn't need. We spoke about this yesterday with the term next man up. I find it a little silly most of the time that it's used, but I understand why it gets used. Because no coach ever stands at a podium and says, it's over, we're done, we're finished, we're out, we can't do anything. Man, this is going to be a waste of time. I hope you all have other things to do this fall, because watching this football team is going to be a waste of your energy. No, what they have to do is they have to say, look, we built the system here. And while we lose this player, but we have a system in place that allows somebody to step up and take the opportunity. So that's where the term really, it gets utilized a lot, even if people don't in the end believe it. There's no next man up for Aaron Rodgers. It's a next man up in theory that Zach Wilson will be the quarterback, but he's not on the same level, and it's not the same thing as a plug-and-play situation. Now, look, for the Jets, no one's saying it is. They know they're in a little bit of trouble. But when Robert Saleh is selling Zach Wilson yesterday, there's only so much you can believe. He has to kind of rally the team around the idea that a quarterback that they actively tried to replace this offseason by looking at Matt Stafford first, then settling and going to Green Bay to go, hey, maybe we can get Aaron Rodgers. Let's get Aaron Rodgers. They were actively trying to get rid of him as a starting quarterback based on last season's 7-10 mark, knowing that the quarterback position had to be way better. And a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers doesn't come around very often. In fact, never. So when you have an opportunity where there's a team that's got a disgruntled quarterback, or they're just kind of coming to an end of their long relationship, whether it was Tom Brady in New England and Aaron Rodgers here, the Jets were ready to pounce. And remember when it wasn't going down? Remember when the two sides weren't working out the deal, right? Well, the Jets always were. Look, we may love this. It's like buying a car. Like you may get to a point in your life where you're like, you know what? I want a Corvette. I'm 50 years old. I've got a midlife crisis. I want a Corvette. Even if you want something so badly, you don't go to the dealership and go, just put a number on a piece of paper. Whatever that is, that's what I'll pay for the car. I want the car so badly that you can sign, put any amount on it. I don't care. I don't even know how much a car costs. Same thing here. So the Jets really wanted Aaron Rodgers badly, but they also knew they needed to make a good deal. They needed to make a solid deal. They were probably getting Rodgers for 2 years, maybe three if they were really, really lucky. But that was it, right? So what they ended up doing was they ended up trading for Aaron Rodgers, but there was a stipulation in the trade that if Rodgers played in 65% of the plays for the Jets this upcoming season, the Packers would get a first-round pick. Oops. Since that's not happening, the Packers are now getting a second-round pick.
Silver lining.
There is a little bit of silver lining.
There's your silver lining.
But remember, no matter what they say, no matter how much Robert Saleh is on the podium trying to sell you the team rallying around Zach Wilson, everybody on that team, including Dalvin Cook, who wasn't there last year, Alan Lazard, who wasn't there that year, Randall Cobb, who wasn't there last year, players that weren't on the team last year, they all knew that they were trying to replace Zach Wilson. right? This is not a league where you go, oh, don't worry, we're going to go trade for a mentor. They didn't trade for Aaron Rodgers to make Zach Wilson better. I hate when people bring this up. I hate the idea that the Aaron Rodgers acquisition was about getting Zach Wilson to grow at the position so that when Rodgers does retire, Wilson's ready to go. That's a byproduct of why you got Aaron Rodgers. That's not the reason you got Aaron Rodgers. The reason you got Aaron Rodgers is because you did look at the rest of your roster and you said, you know what? We're a quarterback away from competing for a Super Bowl. We've got a lot of talent on this team. But they were so all in on Rodgers. Let's not forget what they did. With his help, cutting back that salary, he cut $35 million off his salary. Why? So he could bring in two guys that he knew from Green Bay. It helped them get Dalvin Cook. And also remember that the team hired Nathaniel Hackett. Right? So like the Jets were willing to go, look, we'll even make this team better because we landed Aaron Rodgers. So you can't sell Zach Wilson, even if the team is really good. Or it's too big of a climb in the AFC to think that every piece of the Jets puzzle is going to be good and the quarterback play can be mediocre and they can compete with the Bengals and the Chiefs and the Jaguars and the Chargers and the Bills if Josh Allen gets his act together. The Dolphins, that is a really tough hill to climb, and that is not sellable. Believe me, I'm not saying Robert Saleh should have gone on that podium and said, wow, this is going to be really hard going into work every single day, man. Our coaching staff that spends 20 hours a day breaking down film, we're going to be finding it pretty useless because we don't have a QB. No, of course not. He has to sell. That's what his job is, right? That's his job. You know what it is? It's actors selling bad movies. You know, when they go on those press tours and they know they were in a crappy film, right? They know. They look around. They're like, the script's terrible. Director just did a couple takes. I didn't give my best effort. But they sell it like it's Casablanca. Saleh has to do that. But that's now they got to go out and figure out what they're going to do at the quarterback position and what does that mean? All right, what are the options? Like Carson Wentz's name was brought up, right? Getting Matt Stafford via trade, convincing Matt Ryan to come back. Right? Joe Flacco was on the team last year. Nick Foles was mentioned. Right? You could go get Phillip Rivers, but I think Phillip Rivers is committed to his coaching career, isn't he? Wherever Phillip Rivers is he still coaching high school?
Yeah, that, and he's expecting another kid.
And expecting another kid, right. Tom Brady, like that was mentioned yesterday. Tom Brady.
Yeah, I heard
Colt. By the way, that's intriguing, though.
I heard Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy, that's another one. Yeah. Again, Stafford would be, if I'm the Rams, and if I had a bad game against the Seattle Seahawks and lost, I'd probably go, yeah, let's talk. But now you've got names like Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, I don't know. Who else is out there? Jacoby Brissett? Like these names are popping up all over the place. That's not the answer. Right? The answer is, unfortunately, you need a next-level quarterback. There's not any more, and there's no more next-level quarterbacks. The best thing you can do is get somebody who's a lot more seasoned in the game than Zach Wilson to see if maybe this defense and the weapons on offense are good enough to get more wins than losses and then roll the dice and see what happens in January. That's going to be the ultimate goal. Is this a Super Bowl team without Aaron Rodgers? No. No, not in that AFC. No, the best AFC I've seen in my lifetime? No. But part of the best AFC I've seen in my lifetime was Aaron Rodgers being on an AFC team, which he's not anymore. The Brady thing is really intriguing, and it's almost, I almost wish Brady had, not an injury, because I don't want to wish that on somebody, but I wish Brady almost had like a defining reason to retire. Like clearly he needs to get out of this game. Very, very similar to Peyton Manning. Like Peyton Manning, again, they win Super Bowl 50, but we all saw a postseason where Manning wasn't Manning, right? His arm was shot. He was limping a bit. He was really beat up. He was really, really beat up. Remember that season that they won the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50 was a year he got benched for injury And Brock Osweiler played really well. But then Osweiler had a tough game in the final week of the season. They were playing the Chargers, I believe. And it was a very topsy-turvy kind of AFC, right? The Broncos were actually playing to be a one seed, but they could have fallen all the way down to fifth if they had lost. And Brock Osweiler was not playing particularly well, but some of it wasn't his fault. Like, we've seen receivers, ball was bouncing up and intercepted. And Manning came in and played well enough that they won that game and then kept the starting job through the postseason. And Manning, the one thing he did not do that postseason, well, he didn't light up the scoreboard and he didn't throw for 500 yards or whatever. He didn't turn the ball over. I think his first turnover came in the Super Bowl against Carolina. But clearly after that Super Bowl, Manning was hurt enough to make you go, all right, I can see this guy not coming back to play. Brady didn't. Like, Brady kind of just went, yeah, we lost to the Cowboys, I'm out. You know, and they're like, well, you still got some gas in the tank. Yeah, but I'm kind of done. But the rumor didn't die, right? Remember Jimmy Garoppolo was going through a physical, and they were like, well, you know, Brady could come back and play for the Raiders, a team he partially owns, right? That kind of thing. But you could pitch Brady. I mean, I this is so far out there. I don't even know if it's worth commenting. But you could pitch Brady. Look, this is like add water makes its own sauce kind of situation, right? I mean, we have a team here that's well built to win a championship. But in all likelihood, they're going to find a quarterback that's kind of dangling out there with no real home. That's going to be taken over at quarterback at some point, or be a reliable backup for the day you want to bench Ryan Tannehill. All right, coming up, a conversation we started yesterday when we kind of figured that this would be the end of Aaron Rodgers. Is it really the end of Aaron Rodgers? We'll talk about that next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Marty Lyons is going to join us on Jets Radio, formerly of the New York Sack Exchange in the 80s. He'll talk about Rodgers and the Jets. So yesterday we were kind of speculating, all right, look, and this was before the news came out that he was done for the season, but we all kind of knew he was done for the season. It was just one of those things we just kind of trusted people that said, I've seen that before. That's an Achilles night. It's done. But we were wondering, okay, if Rodgers can't come back this season, will he come back next season? And I've gone back and forth of this in the 24 hours since when we came on yesterday with this news from Tuesday's show. I've really gone back and forth about it because I started thinking about it later in the afternoon. Does Rodgers seem like the kind of person that looked around that team, saw what they did, and wants to do something with it? Of course he does. Absolutely. If you watched Hard Knocks, you absolutely got that impression that Rodgers was very happy. So much, again, he reworked the contract so that they could go out and get more weapons. I mean, he was so determined to do something like what Tom Brady did because he saw what that did to Tom Brady, leaving one place and winning at another. That even if you can stockpile, I mean, Brady stockpiled more Super Bowl appearances and more Super Bowl championships in one place than anybody in the history of the NFL. And yet there was still a debate about whether or not it was him or his head coach. And Rodgers didn't have that situation because it wasn't a Mike McCarthy / Matt LaFleur debate about and his legacy. But he also saw how many people really went, oh my God, look what he did. He took another team to the Super Bowl? And Rodgers has only gone to one. And you could almost sense that he wanted a championship for a city where he knew it would be so much currency. And you could tell in Hard Knocks that this is what he was striving. He understood how big of a deal this was, right? And here's the thing about New York. I mean, again, I don't think Rodgers cares about, you know, celebrity stardom, but he does associate with celebrities. But you also noticed that Rodgers was getting like inundated with celebrities from New York who told him how important the Jets were to him. I mean, everybody did. Whether you were a movie star or you were a singer, whether you were an athlete, there are a lot of New Yorkers who are Jets fans who made a point to see him to tell him, hey, man, I've been suffering for 50 years or I've been suffering my whole life, whatever it may be. And he was feeling that. On the other hand, this is where I get a little nervous for his possible return. So on the one hand, theoretically, I would say Rodgers comes back, right? Because who wants to go out like this? Like, who wants to be your last moment being carted off a field with a torn Achilles? But I also know this, that the mind is willing, but the body ain't, that kind of thought process. He's going to be 40. You don't bounce back from these kind of things. It's going to take a tremendous amount of work. A tremendous amount of work. Now, that's not to say Rodgers is going to, you know, get, as you get older, you get lazier or anything like that. I'm not implying that Rodgers wouldn't put the work in to do this. But you may not be fully right for a while. It is possible that he could go through all of the rehab, and at his age, he could go into next year not really 100%. And the risk of injury again could be a little greater. And by the way, I've never met one NFL player in all my years covering the league that likes the off-season programs in the NFL. What they like is Sunday. You want to get back to Sunday. If you're Rodgers, are you, your mindset now is, I got two things I have to do. I have to be the emotional leader of this team from the sidelines. So that means I've got to be there for Zach Wilson. I've got to be there for Garrett Wilson. I got to be there for defensive guys who show up. I got to be there for the coaching staff, whatever they need from me to pump the team up emotionally, whatever it may be. And the second thing I got to do is I got to start to heal. Heal in general for life. Heal in general for maybe for coming back next season. And I've gone back and forth with this because it's a long time between what we saw Monday night to the next game he could possibly play. It's a year. And we always talk about this with championship teams, like, or playoff teams that lose, right? They look at the path in front of them and they go, all right, look, we came so close, and now all I want to do is get back to this. But in order to get back to this, I have to go through the entire offseason, all the OTAs, all the mandatory camps, the draft, new players, players coming, players leaving, training camp, and then 18 weeks of the regular season, including a bye. Is Rodgers going, oh, I got to go through a whole season on the sidelines, all this offseason of working on this ankle, all of the offseason camps, throwing and catching and, you know, running around to just get ready to start this process over again where I might have a better chance of injury? Or do I just go, I tried it, it didn't work, retirement is right over there? I still believe he'll come back. I still believe he'll come back. But I want to pull something out of this. We tend to do this a lot in this business. And what this, in the, what I mean by this business is media, opinion columns, talk shows, or whatever, is that we kind of go into these general sports cliches, right? Oh, you won't be able to drag him off the field. Well, sometimes you can. I'm not going to say Aaron Rodgers is going to come back because he's a fighter. He's a competitor. He wants to win. Because I've seen guys retire early. I saw Barry Sanders walk away from this game healthy.
Yep.
I've seen guys with a lot of gas in the tank this game. Calvin Johnson, same thing. I've seen a lot of guys leave this game.
Might just be a Detroit thing. I don't know.
Right, maybe so. So I want to take away cliches. I remember I've said this many times. I'll never forget. It's something that I use when I do call games. Howard Cosell, when on Monday Night Football, a player got hurt, and Cosell, in a moment of, you know, broadcasting, you know, where he just wanted to say something about it, he said, "Ah, don't worry, folks, he'll be back." And Chet Forty, who's a producer, got in his ear and said, "Howard, don't say that. You don't know that." But that's what we do sometimes.
No, I think our initial gut reaction was that, you know, and we said it a couple times yesterday, that's not the way Aaron wants to go out.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's true.
That's true.
No athlete wants to go out that way, but like you just said, a whole year. I mean, he'll probably be on the sidelines. You know, he'll probably be holding a clipboard. He'll probably – maybe he's wearing the headphones. Maybe he's, you know, a quarterback coach on the sideline for Zach Wilson. I don't know. We really don't know what his role is going to be moving forward this year. But how do we know he doesn't get a taste of that and go, you know what, I can still be a part of football and that, and I'm not getting banged up?
Well, how about the fact that he's not going to bounce back like a 22-year-old doing this? He's 40.
Yeah, it's not like, you know who else? I mean, I know Kobe did his Achilles. Was there someone else in the NFL recently that?
I can't think of one. I know there was, but I can't.
But I mean, you know, but there was a younger person.
Yeah.
And they were able
to.
They bounced back. Like Kobe, when Kobe did it, I mean, he was a little bit older, or Klay Thompson, he was a little bit older, but they were younger than what Aaron Rodgers.
I think it was, wasn't Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant tear Achilles?
I don't know. Didn't he just have like a broken, like a missing leg at one point?
But you know what's funny is, like, I'm older than Aaron Rodgers, but like, I just had I'm still fighting a little bulging disc in my neck, which is driving me crazy, but it's not serious enough, but it's going to take time. It's going to go back into place. So I've got these like my arm tingles and things like that. If I sit in a certain way, another certain way, I don't. But I remember going to like my physical therapist, and he's working on the neck a bit. And I said, what causes this kind of stuff? And he's like, yeah, you know, as you get older, it just, things like this happen. You know, and it's like, you get to a point where you just live with stuff.
I like that. Doctor. Hey, it just happens, man.
It just happens, man. Like, you just live with stuff. Like, there's a possibility Aaron Rodgers is not going to be 100%. Now, it might be. I mean, I don't know much about Achilles tears. Maybe they heal 100% or nothing, right? Sometimes there are injuries where that's the case, right? There are injuries where there's no lingering effects. It's either 100% healed or it's injured. It's one or the other. And sometimes those are the injuries you want, because if it's healed, it means it's good to go 100%. Some injuries are like, yeah, you might get 80% of this going forward. You know, when I dislocated my knee a couple of years ago, the doctor was like, yeah, you'll always have the possibility of dislocating it again now because you've dislocated it once. That's why you can only have so many knee surgeries in sports before you finally go, I got to give up. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Some other thoughts from week one as we get you set for week number two. Thursday night, the Eagles in Minnesota will be kicking that week off. There's also two Monday night games next week as well. So we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Marty Lyons will join us in 15 minutes to talk about the Jets situation and where they're going to go at quarterback and what's the, you know, how upbeat can you get when you lose a quarterback? As I mentioned yesterday, this is such a wild franchise with such a weird history of bad decisions and just moments in their time that just sort of are almost comical, right? We were talking yesterday about how they have a quarterback in their history, and Mark Sanchez, that went to two FC title games, known for the butt fumble. They have a history of Dan Marino was on the board. They passed him up to go with Ken O'Brien. And by the way, I know people like to pick on the Jets for that. The Steelers went with a defensive player that year and didn't take Dan Marino, who's a Pitt guy. So, I mean,
that's why they took Pickett.
Exactly. That's why they took Pickett. Exactly. Not going to make the same mistake again.
Yep.
You know?
Can't have history repeat itself.
Seriously, Dan Marino is playing in your backyard. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a college student.
Yep.
And you choose a defensive player from Texas Tech in the draft. So that's the Steelers. But nevertheless, the Jets picked Ken O'Brien. They thought Ken O'Brien was a better quarterback. They went with a quarterback and didn't take Dan Marino. Right? Now, it's all hindsight, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a franchise that just, no matter what they do, they can't. They just cannot find success. They cannot figure it out.
I know we've talked about it before, and we kind of briefly mentioned, is there a curse? Do we know of a Jets curse?
If you believe in curses, yeah, there
if
probably
you believe
is.
In curses, some, I believe but there, in curses.
But there's no story of...
Right, that's the like problem. I want to know the story.
Yeah, like an old woman went to a Jets game, and she couldn't bring her pet raccoon.
Right.
So she yelled at the security guard and a Jets official who was on site that they would never win again after the Super Bowl, and they haven't since.
You think Marty knows?
If there's a story curse. Yeah. If there was one, believe me, we would have heard it from every single media Jets fan that
Very
has
true.
Been roaming
I forgot
the
this one. They were
flashing famous
Jets injuries throughout the years. And I forgot about Jason Sehorn.
Oh, that's right.
That kind of derailed his career.
Yeah, that's right.
But, I mean, not really derailed his career. He went on to become a good broadcaster.
Did he? Is he still around as a
broadcaster? I don't know if he's still around. I think he...
Did he marry Angie Harmon?
Yeah. He's still, he's still good life.
Yeah. I remember much about him. Philip on Twitter, everybody hates off-season stuff, but I think Aaron wanted this bad enough that it'll work harder than he's had between now and next season to get as healthy as possible and make that comeback. I agree with you. I think he will make the comeback. I'm just saying don't cliche it because he's 40 years old, and that's not something you would say. It's not easy. It's not as easy, and sometimes you are tired. I mean, he's had a career. Think about this. When did Rodgers get drafted? 2007, 8? When was he first drafted? One of those years.
He's been in this league a long time, man.
Yeah. He's been in this league a long time. And, I agree with you. I think he was as excited as ever, given what the Jets had built. But maybe he's halfway through his workout and he realized, man, I'm too old. I'm not bouncing back like I should. I don't know. But you're right. I mean, listen, do I think that's – I agree. I mean, I think if you're Rodgers, you absolutely are trying to get back because that isn't what you want. That isn't the thrill of what he was experiencing. Look, it was crazy. If you watched Hard Knocks like I did, it was crazy. Like, these Jets practices were nuts. It was like a rock concert. I mean, these fans were showing up to training camp, losing their mind on the possibility of what this is. And Rodgers does like that. He pretends he doesn't. Like, he pretends it's all above him. Like, he's above it all. Like, all he wants to do is just go disappear into a cave and do whatever he wants to do, eat mushrooms or whatever. Rodgers likes the attention. He likes drawing out stuff. He likes the adoration. You could tell. He was really enjoying his new location. Brady liked his new location too. It's, you know what? It is a feeling of being, it's having a new audience that loves you. It's that first feeling you had. You know, when Brady won the Super Bowl for the Patriots as a young 24-year-old kid, all these doors were opening up, right? I mean, all these doors were opening up. Everybody loved him. They still loved him. But remember, it was a 20-year relationship. And no matter how long you're in a relationship with somebody, it goes stale every now and then, right? He got a fresh set of admiration, a fresh set of love that was coming his way. That's what Aaron Rodgers was getting in New York. I mean, on a consistent basis. It's crazy. Like, Liev Schreiber showed up. And Aaron Rodgers was starstruck with Liev Schreiber because he loved his movies and he loved his voiceover work for Hard Knocks. And Schreiber was like, you are the best thing that's happened to this team. I've been a fan of this team, blah, blah, blah. Same thing, like John McEnroe was interviewing him at the U.S. Open. John McEnroe has been a Jets fan his whole life. I mean, that times 100 from every New York celebrity that went up to him and said what a unbelievable gift he was to the organization. Oh, goodness. I feel bad for that. I mean, that's just... And these five games that are on prime time, yikes.
Yeah.
The Zach Wilson show.
You know, the most disappointing thing was is that we didn't even get to see anything.
No, that's the hard part about it, right? Nothing.
I mean, nothing.
Nothing. Four plays, 75 seconds.
All the little fun videos that are coming out of Aaron Rodgers' highlights this season. It's just him running out of the tunnel with the flag.
That's right. That's all.
That's it. It's like, we're done.
That
it's kind of sad.
Getting.
It's like, God, it's like we were so excited to see what the Jets can do.
So and now it's an AFC East that has one less piece of strength to it.
Yeah.
And then the other team that's in it, the Buffalo Bills, look like they got a Josh Allen quarterback issue where they need him to clean up some stuff. How about not turn the ball over and not try to leap every single defender that runs into you like he's a hurdle? How about we do both of those things?
Well, I always feel like he's trying to complete the hard pass.
Okay, that's a very, very good way to put that. there are, okay, a good coach, okay, this is where coaching comes in, right? We love quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, right? Like when Mahomes goes back to throw, he's looking, no one's open. He runs to his right, he runs to his left, he runs to the side. He runs over, runs around, avoiding a tackle, finds a guy, throws a touchdown. A coach will say, hey, you know what? That's all fun. But here's the thing. We play a game of percentages, and you may be uber talented. You may be the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. But in all likelihood, about 75% of what you just did goes bad for us.
Yep.
I would much rather you look, roll a little bit, and then throw it out of bounds rather than trying to do this kind of stuff. It excites the fans and everything. But when we're playing a percentage game, we can't have you do that every time. Not every single down is important enough to warrant that. We need you to be smart enough to go, nothing, pressure's coming, I'm getting out of this. That's Josh Allen hasn't really learned that lesson. Allen really needs to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to win every down. You don't have to win every possession. That's the other key to good quarterbacking.
No.
Sometimes you go three and out and you go, all right, you know what? Get the ball back and we'll try again next time.
You know, I mean, it's a weird way to say it like this, but it's chess.
Yeah, it really is.
When you play chess, sometimes you make a move on purpose to set yourself up for a better run down the road.
Right, exactly.
So you'll sacrifice a pawn to set it up so that way he's like, well, I'll get rid of that guy so my rook or my bishop can be, look at me talking chess. I'm just naming pieces. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But, you know, but you do that to set it up. Set up for the win.
Exactly.
Same thing as in football. I mean, you don't, you know, sometimes you just go three and out just to, I don't know. I mean, just because you tried a couple plays and like, okay, that didn't work, but we noticed something.
We got rid of the ball. Our punting team came out. We'll try again next time.
Yeah.
Right? When you get closer to the end of the game, that's when you got to do that kind of stuff. But in the first quarter, if you're leaping trying to leap a linebacker coming at you at full speed to get a first down with 10:38 left to go in the first quarter,
yep,
we've got a problem.
Yeah. I know you're hyped up for the game.
I know, yeah. I know you're excited.
We're hyped for the season, but yeah, it's a long season.
And let's punt it away. It's okay.
It wasn't just that. It's like, for me, I felt like when I was watching that game, I felt like there was a lot of times he was trying to force the ball to Stephon Diggs
absolutely.
To make him happy or to make him like me. Especially that last play.
Yeah.
The last play before they punted it away.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I mean, he threw it to Stephon Diggs. I mean, he wasn't open.
Yeah, learn to find your moments where you want to do that kind of thing. Late in a game, tie game. Yeah, we're going to need that yard. Yeah, we don't want to give up the ball here. But when you've got to learn, and that's coach and quarterbacks talk about this a lot. When quarterbacks say, "Hey, you know what? The best thing that happened to me when I learned I couldn't win every series." When I went, you know what, I'm chucking this away, we'll try again. That's when we got better. That's when we got more efficient because I did reduce the turnovers. I did reduce some of the aches and pains of the game because I tried too hard early. Josh Allen needs to throttle it back a little bit. You don't have to be on 11 every time you're out there. All right, Marty Lyons will join us from the Jets Radio Network, former Jet as well.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Week 2 of the NFL starts on Thursday night. Philadelphia coming off their win against New England, taking on Minnesota, coming off their loss to Tampa Bay. We also got 2 Monday night games on the schedule. New Orleans at Carolina. Oh, that should be good. And then Cleveland taking on Pittsburgh. Oh, that's even better. So that's a Monday night showdown for you for Monday Night Football. Sunday night's game, New England taking on the Miami Dolphins. All right, the league is still wondering, oh, my God, what's happening to the Jets with Aaron Rodgers? We're going to hook up with Marty Lyons, formerly of the New York Sack Exchange, played for the Jets back in the early 80s, along with Mark Gastineau and Joe Klecko. They were a formidable defensive force. He's on the Jets radio network, and as many of you who watched Monday night's game early, you saw the energy and excitement. Of course, there's the 9/11 backdrop. up and the sort of honoring of the men and women who lost their lives on that date. And everything was emotional, and Aaron Rodgers is running out with the flag. But there's a football atmosphere, too. It's not just the 9-11 in the shadow of New York City. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, with all of that hype in the offseason and all of that attention that they were getting for the big trade and the big move. And it was fun to follow this summer because we kind of knew it was going to happen. We kind of thought it would happen. And then, you know, the Jets are flying out to California to meet with them. And, you know, the Packers are going to want a whole bunch of things, whatnot. And then, of course, it ends 90 seconds into the game. Marty Lyons joins us, Jets Radio Network, also played for the Jets on the infamous New York Sack Exchange on a Progressive guest line. Progressive, round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. How are you, Marty?
I'm doing well. Tony, how are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. You know, we were just talking about the atmosphere, and you, as somebody that has been with this organization and knows its fan base, I know that it was devastating, but how did it go? How did it feel to go from devastating to the euphoria of actually winning the game, that sort of transition of emotions Monday night?
Well, you know, that's life in the NFL. As a player gets hurt, and especially somebody like Aaron Rodgers, that meant so much to this organization in the short time that he's been here. Just, you know, it was like getting kicked in the gut. But to play, the game had to continue, and to end it in overtime with a 65-yard punt return, everybody was just celebrating. But on a sudden, you go back into the locker room. The reality is, hey, we just won one, but we just lost our leader. So it was mixed emotions.
This summer was, as I was talking earlier, from an outsider, not part of the media frenzy of New York, just looking at it from the outside. It was one of the more fun stories to follow with everything that was transpiring. The Jets wanting Rodgers, Rodgers kind of wanting the Jets. The Packers are in the way. They're discussing it. It's a long time. But throughout that summer, for a fan base that has been hit so many times negatively, what did the summer of Aaron Rodgers mean to the people that root for this team and live and die with this team?
Well, I tell you what it did. It quickly took away that 7-10 season that they had last year. Everybody was harping on, all right, well, how are we going to turn the page? We lost the last six games. Aaron came in, and it was like he rejuvenated the whole building, rejuvenated the fans, and came in and did everything right. He said that, you know what, he came here to win, but he had to teach the younger players to win on Sunday. You had to win Monday through Friday, which was a great message. And I think when you have young talent there like Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, it was a mutual relationship. I think Aaron needed the younger players just like the younger players needed him. And what he did for this organization in the 6 months that he was here and the fan base, I don't think that has ever been done in the franchise history. And now that he's injured, I hope that his goal is to come back and be like a player's coach, wear the headsets. These guys really do respect him. They love him. And that now he has a chance to look at Zach Wilson and mold him into a player that he needs to be. And even if you look at Zach now from where he was last year, he has matured greatly. And when Aaron came here, I kept saying, you know, this is the best thing that could happen for Zach because, number one, he can learn how to be a professional, how to prepare for games, how to carry himself in a press conference and do everything the right way. And he still has that opportunity, you know, to take care of Zach.
Is there something about last year's Zach Wilson that was missing in the games that you think Aaron Rodgers could have or could continue to improve on?
Well, you know what, Tony? I think there's been something missing ever since Zach got drafted, you know, number two overall 3 years ago, is when he came in, there was no leadership in that, you know, quarterback room. And then, unfortunately, his quarterback coach got killed. And he was left there coming from BYU with the understanding that this is the way I played in college. This is the same way I can play in the NFL, and it's an entirely different game. So I think Zach, the Jets didn't mean to do it, but they didn't have the right leadership in that locker room to mold him into a player where you look at Jordan Love, the way he played this week, sitting behind Aaron for those as many years as he did out there in Green Bay and understanding the game. and understanding that it doesn't matter if the players like you, they need to respect you. And that's what Aaron said when he first got here. He said, you know, I didn't come in here to have people like me. I want them to respect me, and then they will like me. And when I would go over there to watch practice, after every drill that the offense would do, he'd go over and he'd start talking to a group. He'd talk to a defensive lineman one after one break, and then he'd go to the linebackers, and then he'd go to the defensive backs. And he would always have a one-on-one conversation, but all the other members of that individual group, they would gravitate over and just listen to him. And I've never seen a leader at that quarterback position in 44 years that I've been a part of the Jets like Aaron brought in when he came.
All right, so Zach Wilson has obviously been moving up, but there's been buzz about what do they do now? Where do they go? Are they going to have to get another quarterback to fill the quarterback room?
Well, they're going to have to do something. You got Boyle as a backup, but now with the new rules, if you can bring in a third quarterback, you have to. And I think that's where, you know, Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh and that whole group, they've done an excellent job building this team. That's where they're going to have to go out and select a quarterback that fits into the program, that fits into the locker room. The locker room has been tremendous when you add guys like Randall Cobb and Alan Lazar and the younger players. It's a perfect mix. And, you know, to lose your starting quarterback four plays into a start of a new season where goals are at an all-time high, it's 9/11, the stadium is lit up, you pick up the pieces because nobody in the NFL is going to feel sorry for you. Dallas Cowboys aren't going to feel sorry for you. Dan Quinn, the defense coordinator, he's going to stack the box and say, hey, you know what, Zach, beat us because we're going to shut down the running game. So you got to figure out how to approach each game a little bit different.
As somebody who played at a time where artificial turf is different than artificial turf today, that was rougher, is that a legitimate complaint? As we hear the outcry of this, is that a legitimate complaint?
Tony, I think everybody's going to complain when you have an injury. And just look at the Jets field at MetLife. If it was natural grass, the night before you had the Giants playing the Cowboys in a torrential downpour, the whole game. So the field would have been flooded, all right? You had rain prior to the Jets, you know, to the Jets game against Buffalo. The field would have been a total mess. I don't think the field had anything to do with Aaron blowing out his Achilles. I remember, you know, I was 33 years old and going into my 12th season, I went to make a tackle, made the tackle. I snapped my bicep, my right bicep. Was that because the guy was running on turf? Maybe if he was running on grass, he wouldn't have been that fast. No. When you get a little bit older, your muscles don't stretch as much as they do. People forget that Aaron had a calf pull or a calf injury during training camp, and injuries are part of the game. I would think every NFL player would want to play on a natural grass field if you can keep that natural grass field to the best conditions that you can possibly do. Here in the Northeast, I think it would be very hard to do. It's not like the weather down in Florida or California or out there in Arizona.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think people are going to blame the turf, but I don't think the turf in this situation with this injury had anything to do with it.
That's very good analysis. Marty, thank you so much for coming on today. And I know it's very busy there and a lot of news coming in and out. Appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Tony. Anytime.
You got it. Marty Lyons, Jets Radio Network. Again, played for the Jets back in the 80s of the New York Sack Exchange. Also gave the introduction to Joe Klecko at the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. That was a very good thought that I did not consider, right? The Giants and the Cowboys played to a downpour, and the Jets were supposed to play the next night. The only way you're going to get a playable field is on turf. All right, we'll come back. It's hour number two. Don't forget the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. Oh, we also got buy or sell later on today. So it's a lot of stuff to unpack on a Wednesday. We're at the midway point, week one, week two ahead. So we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.